Welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right, thank you so much for joining us. Our show today, Conquer Your Cravings. Many of us experience food cravings from time to time, but for certain people, these food cravings can pose a serious health risk. For example, food cravings can trigger binge eating, which can lead to chronic eating disorders, and if unchecked, can lead to obesity and premature death, not to mention the feelings of feeling guilty and shameful, which is connected to these food cravings. Today, we'll take a closer look at this serious health issue and provide some really great natural solutions. As always, our message is really quite simple. If you're suffering with a health problem, there is a solution. And yes, I've got a special guest with me today. But first, I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Okay, let's get started by introducing my special guest, Melissa Catherine, to the program. Melissa, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me.
Melissa, why don't we just get right into it by first talking a little bit about yourself and why you're so interested in this topic of food cravings.
Yeah, so I am a holistic weight loss and lifestyle expert, and my background is in fitness, and I was in the fashion industry for a long time and also in mindset. So I do hypnosis as well. And a big thing that where I came from and how I even got started in this work was I started dieting at the age of 10. I thought that I was 10 pounds overweight, and that was really due to just different things that occur for all of us in our childhood and our formative years as we're building confidence in ourselves. And for me, I really began to tie my self-worth and my happiness to my weight. And as a result of that, I really ended up being an emotional eater. And I didn't know this until very much later on in life that that's what had been created for me. But as a result of that, I dieted for over a decade. I've tried every diet known to man. And I did everything from Weight Watchers, where I'm walking around assessing points to everything, to Nutrisystem, to shakes, to no dinners, to low carb, to no carb, and, you know, no fat. And I really wreaked havoc on my insides. And that's when I learned about holistic nutrition. And I really started taking ownership of my body and recognizing the patterns and the belief systems that I had around food and where all of that came from. And that is something that I think is really powerful. And so now I have a practice where I primarily work with people to understand and get away from the yo-yo dieting and deprivation, but actually to break free from that and reconnect with their bodies and to learn why they eat the way that they do and where they created those patterns from. Because I do believe that we all have an emotional connection with food. And that was kind of a hard pill for me to swallow. And I remember I read this book by a mentor of mine, Marianne Williamson. It was the 21 Spiritual Lessons to Weight Loss. And in it, she talked about emotional eating. And I was like, oh my God, I think I'm an emotional eater. And I never saw it that way. And even when I got really healthy and I was working with people and had gone back to school and got certified in holistic nutrition, and I was a personal trainer, and I looked like the mirror of health. And yet I did a fitness competition, and I stood on stage and I'm in this bikini, and they're handing me, not like a crazy bodybuilder fitness competition, but just like I had a very pretty lean physique. And I wanted to see how toned I could get. And it was an amazing experience. But what it taught me and why I'm so passionate to answer your question is I stood on stage and I'm in these like transparent kind of hooker heels and this bathing suit that's glued to my body. Nobody has any idea what really goes on in these things. It's amazing, but it's so much work and there's so much behind the scenes. and I have this bikini like glued on my body, and they hand me this trophy. And I just remember standing there thinking, oh, what? Like, I won? It just wasn't even in my wheelhouse. And I inevitably would gain the weight back because my mindset wasn't there. And I didn't really believe I was deserving of that body. And I didn't really connect mentally with food, with my food connections and the cravings that I would have and what my emotional relationship, those behavioral patterns were with food to be able to sustain the weight loss and to really enjoy that journey and that process that I did to get there. So when I read Marianne's book, I was like, it was like a light bulb. And I was like, oh my God, I'm an emotional eater. And that felt like it was like I had some sort of secret eating disorder that I hadn't really understood. And then I really spent dedicated years to understanding it and working with people to get around that and mastering that.
You know, I think, Melissa, for some people, this is equally as important as most of the shows that we've focused on, which is, you know, we eat foods, say, traditionally for fats and carbohydrates and protein. And, you know, we look at the antioxidant levels in our food and we talk about nutrient deficiencies and how that's connected to dis-ease in the body. But this idea of an emotional connection to our food, I mean, it's so easy to understand or to relate to. Anybody who just thinks about this for a moment, we can get that idea. But let's talk about this for a few more minutes now. As you said, you know, starting at around 9-10 years old, you know, this thing started to take over your life. So talk to us a little bit, like we were clients of yours. Where do we get these emotional connections to food? How does this turn up?
When you think about it, from the minute that we're born, we're given breast milk. Whether we were breastfed or we're given formula, we're given a sweet substance from loving figure, right? A parent, usually our mothers. And that's how we're shown love right out of the womb. So, you know, when I say emotional connection, people are like, that's not me, you know. And I just want you to know it can be something as simple as, you know, you fall off your bike and you scrape your knee and, you know, your father's like, let's go get ice cream. You're okay, right? And then it's like, oh, I have this beautiful experience with my father getting ice cream. When I was hurt, that's what I did, and it made me feel all better, right? When it's your birthday, you get cake. When you get a raise, it's let's go and celebrate with champagne, right? When you're sad, your girlfriends are like, do you want to go eat pizza and we'll have some chocolate, right? So that's what goes on in society, and a lot of it goes to our culture. And I'm Italian and Irish. The Italian side, we show love with food. We're like, eat more. And you're like, well, I feel sick. And it's like, come on, I love you. Eat more. So, you know, that's where that comes from. And it can start at a really young age. And what happens, especially with children, and it can be at any age, really. But, you know, some people turn to drugs. Some people turn to alcohol. Some people turn to sex. Other people turn to food. It's instant gratification. And it's something that comforts us and makes us feel better, because oftentimes we've created that relationship with food because we don't want to deal with the situation at hand, or we don't like the way that we're feeling. So our brain will signal and will say, hey, go get sugar. Go get, you know what worked for us once? Cake. Cake works. That always feels good. You know, when we're stressed, we go and get chips. That works for us. Let's go do that, right? And so it's not only is it a distraction, but it allows us a break from dealing with something that it is we don't really want to deal with. And it also gives us a sensation and an emotion that we're not able to give ourselves. And so what I see happen a lot is, especially with people, is if they feel, and we can talk about this, I kind of put them into two camps with cravings, and there's head cravings and heart cravings. And head cravings really come about more from feeling a lack of control, from anxiety, and heart cravings are more really come about from a lack of fulfillment. And when we're missing kind of feeling love and pleasure and a bit of, you know, just an essence of self in there. And so both of those cravings in the head and the heart have different foods that are associated with them and different emotions that are associated with them that I really work with people around.
You know, as you were talking, Melissa, I mean, you and I both live in and around the big city, if you will, and we understand the energy that sort of surrounds that so easily for so many people that, like you were just sort of talking about just a couple minutes ago, so caught up, say, perhaps in their lives with something that they're not happy with. And like you were actually literally saying, it's too much to handle. And then what do we see in society pervasive throughout so many big cities? We've got that happy hour where people just sort of look forward to just sort of being released from prison, if you will, and being able to just let loose at happy hour. I mean, I think that's sort of what you're talking about as an example in our society of where we're not really asking ourselves anything. We're just sort of on a subconscious level. We're hoping that if we go to happy hour, we're just going to feel better. I think that's kind of where you're going as an example of one of the things that maybe we really need to take a look at this a little bit better to really improve our lives.
Well, it's true, because this is what happens, and I see this exactly what you're saying, just like happy hour. It's an escape, and we, you know, how many times do you come home from work or a depleting day, right? Like, we always put, especially as we become adults, the fun and, like, the spontaneity, there's so much more structure to our days, and we don't feel as in control of our time. In fact, we actually feel like we never have enough time. And we end up going to the bottom of our priority list. And that means we're not taking care of ourselves as much. So we're lacking sleep, right? We have a family, we're doing this, or depending on whatever it is you're doing, you've got commitments that you didn't have before. And so, you know, food can become that escape. It's like, oh, okay, and if you'll notice it, because you will find yourself looking forward to the meal more than you do the company, right? You'll find yourself looking more forward to the food at the holiday, more so than actually the holiday itself and being around love and joy. And that's when food is taking a precedence over what actually, right, what's taking them over experiencing life itself, because that's when we're giving food more power than it should have, because food is a substance. This might sound ridiculous, and I say this when I do talks all the time, and people kind of chuckle, but then they're like, I totally get it. Food can't love you back. It doesn't hug you. It can't give you any affection. What it can do is give you a sense of solace for a short bit, but then we end up going into a self-berating afterwards or a downward spiral. And so it's never actually getting to the core of what we need, right? So it's using food as a filler. And so what I push people to do is, let's take this a step further. Let's dive a bit deeper. Ask yourself four questions that need to come up around your craving. So, for instance, when we were talking and saying, like let's use head cravings, for example. A head craving comes about generally, what I would categorize under that, the emotions, the underlying emotions for that are anger, frustration, stress, overwhelm, resentment, any intense or instant feelings, you know, emotions that are clearly easy to identify, where food can push those feelings away so you don't have to deal, right? That's really what those types of cravings are. So again, head cravings are more emotions based on anger, frustration, procrastination, anxiety, overwhelm, stress. Underlying emotions for heart cravings are more sad, lonely, wanting more attention, feeling depressed, restless, lack of fulfillment, feeling needy. And those emotions are more vague. They're not as easy to identify. You're just kind of like, I just don't feel good. And the food helps to bury those feelings. So really looking at this, a head craving, the food helps to push those feelings away. You just don't feel like dealing with what you have to deal with. So a good analogy for that is when you're at work and you just find yourself getting up to snack because you just want to procrastinate because you don't want to do the project or the work that you have to do. A heart craving, a good experience for that is when you're just kind of feeling blah and you don't know why, but you just feel down and you just want that feeling to go away because it just doesn't feel good. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. And I guess, you know, to go back to the example that I brought up about happy hour, I suppose that, you know, for the most part, obviously we're talking generally here, but I just sort of hear it in the voices of so many people who say they want to just, oh, what a week I've had. It's been so stressful. It's been so crazy. I haven't had any time to myself, Melissa. I can't wait to just go hang out with you now and just go to happy hour. You know, it has to be that head craving, like, let's go get a drink, right? And it's really, what's going on is, what if you could just wave a wand over that person's life, right? And just make them feel more satisfied, or that they were spending more time doing things the way they really wanted to. You know, like me, for example, I mean, I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm under a lot of stress, if you will, a lot of deadlines, a lot of demands on my time. But Melissa, I wouldn't trade my life for anybody else. I am so grateful for all the quote-unquote pressures that are put on me, that what I mean is I don't crave a happy hour. It's like, this is my life and I'm very happy for it. I think it's different when you just want to get a drink because the stress is so high.
I agree with you, and I that's when I really encourage people to think about, what is it they really want to deal with? What is it that they need to deal with that they don't feel like? And listen, everybody listening to this, I'm not saying, like, I understand life. I understand just being like, okay, I need a glass of wine. But it's when that is detrimental, and it's no longer just like, okay, I'm talking with a friend, I'm getting some things out, right? When it's something that's becoming a pattern or a behavior and it's hurting you and not helping you, that's when you want to take back the control. Because the one thing as humans that we all need is, we actually like routine and we want to feel in control. When we're taking positive, inspired action in our lives, we feel good. And what can happen, even with a drink, is that it acts as a depressant. And then it takes away, and that just adds to whatever is already not working. And that's a whole other element to this. But the biggest thing with food and understanding our emotions and our cravings is, let's take it a step further and find out, what is it you're really craving? What is it you really need that's going to make you feel amazing, that's going to turn things around and give you the change that you so really want to see and feel in your life and in your body? And that's what this is about. And that's why I'm so passionate, Jonathan. When you asked in the beginning, you said, why are you so into cravings and conquering? And why is that such, why do you think that's so important? It's empowering you to know that you're in control of your body, your weight, and your life. And in that, you're in control of your health. And so then you're making life happen for you, you know, and it's not happening to you. And the first place, and the reason I even do this work, is because it all starts with you and your body and your health. When you feel good, when you feel in control of you, right, that's when everything can shift. And I think as adults, it's hard for us to always recognize that and take the time to be like, okay, what's really going on here? It's easier to get a quick fix, easier to get that instant gratification from a happy hour, from food.
Melissa, we got so much more to take care of. I definitely want to get into what food cravings look like. I want to talk about how that personal history is connected to food cravings. And also, obviously, I want to hear from you more specific solutions, what you've done with clients. But before we get there, I just want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Melissa, we've got solutions to talk about for people who are suffering with food cravings. I love your message already, because the whole point of doing shows like this, these podcasts, are really to empower people, right? We've got all this talk about Ebola virus, and everything in the mainstream media is like, let me tell you one thing or another so that you can feel disempowered, so that you can feel more afraid. Look, whether it's their intention or not, that's not the point of what I'm trying to say now. I just know without a shadow of a doubt that that's exactly the kind of message that's being given out to medical students who are learning about all kinds of diseases and what happens to people and how they attack the body. I know that's what medical students are being put through. I know that people across the board, everybody watching mainstream media, watching the news, all they do is feel disempowered and very afraid to go out of their homes and out of their apartments because the world out there is so horrible and stress has become so high that these food cravings literally take over your life. And that's why I am so happy that you're spending a few minutes with us in this podcast. Melissa, please talk to us about what these food cravings look like, especially for the person out there who goes, no, I don't have any food cravings at all.
Yeah, that's such a good question. Jump in. Food cravings look like I'm hungry, but I just don't know what I'm hungry for. So for everybody, that actually means you're not hungry, because when you're truly hungry, you are ready to put down, you know, a steak and or just a big meal. And you're in that point where you're like, I'm hangry. I'm so hungry. Give me something. Like, I need, you're craving like a real meal. You're not sitting there going, I'm so, so hungry. Where's my mint chocolate chip ice cream? Right? So when you're sitting there and you're going, I'm hungry, but I just don't know what I'm hungry for. And you're just standing in front of your fridge, shut the fridge, get out of your kitchen because you're not hungry. When you're at work, and that example of just being like, okay, and you notice that a project's on your desk and you're just getting up to go to the vending machine or to the kitchen or into, you know, where somebody brought in cookies, really check in with yourself and say, what's going on at work right now? What is the work that I have to do that I just don't feel like doing it? And am I really hungry right now? Oftentimes we eat because we've read somewhere that we're supposed to, or because of a diet that we're on, and it's eat this many times a day. But it's really about, this is connecting, guys. This is about reconnecting with yourself, building that relationship that after so many years of reading conflicting information or being a chronic dieter like myself, I had such a dieter's mentality, I had lost full connection to actually understand my hunger levels. So noticing when you have something sweet, if you just need something else sweet, we know this, sugar is more addictive than cocaine and heroin, right? So when you have a taste of something sweet, the chances of you not wanting to eat the entire box or a roll of Oreos, sleeve of Oreos, is really slim to none. The more you tell yourself, no, you're not going to eat the cake, the more your subconscious mind hears, I'm going to have cake. So these cravings, I just want you to answer it really succinctly, is recognizing the food, starting to take notice of the patterns of the cravings that you're having. So are you always craving something sweet? Are you always craving something salty? So going back to that head and heart cravings that I was talking about, head cravings, you essentially will crave things that are crunchy, that crunch, party foods, nuts, chips, pretzels, anything that's crunchy, trail mix. If you're always like, I want gum or something that you need an oral fixation, if you will, right? That comes from the stress and the anxiety. So notice that that's where that's coming from. And what I tell people with head cravings is I want you to ask yourself three important questions. What is it you want to chew on in life right now? Will eating that food change your situation? And what is it that you can do instead? And the fourth question always is, are you hungry? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being I want to eat my arm, where are you on that? Because you should really be in that 7 to 9 range to have a snack or a meal, right? So again, those questions are, what do I want to chew on in life right now? Will eating change what's going on for me? Is that going to solve this problem? And what can I do instead? And am I really hungry? If so, on what level? Right, on 1 to 10. And heart cravings are when you're really craving sweet. You're craving, and sweet and salty can be in both camps, but like with a heart craving, it's more soothing. It's smooth and creamy. So ice cream, yogurt, cheeses, things that are more decadent and rich. And so that really comes about, again, as a lack of fulfillment. And so those emotions are, like I said, more sad, lonely, bored, restless, feeling like you just want to feel good. And so a big thing with that I really want to encourage you to ask yourself is, what's empty? What am I missing here? right? What's missing for me? Will eating change this? And what can I do instead? And again, assess your hunger level.
Makes a lot of sense. We've got so many things to talk about. I'm going to have to probably have you come back and do another podcast episode with us, Melissa. I mean, you just, everything you're saying is just so beautiful. You talk about clean eating, the importance of that, the pleasure principle as well. I want to end this program with talking about some of the solutions, the things that you can offer people that are really going to help them to overcome those food cravings. Asking the questions, being open to it, obviously looking for something else other than just sort of letting the food craving take over in your life. Obviously, we need to really get to some solutions. Before we get there, let me just thank one last time our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, you can visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Melissa, before you go, talk to us a little bit more about some of these other mind-body connection tips, if you will, that can help us successfully get away from these food cravings.
So I actually have a great exercise to help everybody that I really love. So I want you guys to think about, what are your trigger foods? So right now, just write down foods that you know you can't have around you because you'll eat all of them. So for instance, for me, a big one was like peanut butter. I could just sit with like a jar of peanut butter and a spoon, and I had a field day with it, right? So that was one. For me, I mentioned mint chocolate chip ice cream earlier. That's my favorite. I was always like, where is mint chip? So I used to not be able to have it in my house when I first, you know, really started with this. And now it's not a problem at all. But that was one where I would have like half a cup, and then I'd be like, oh, look at that ice cream. And my mind literally couldn't get away from it. And I would find myself getting up and going to my freezer 15 times. So think about those foods that you're just like, wow, it's really hard for me to have them around because if I open them or start with them, I'm not going to be able to stop. So think of your trigger foods. Write those down. Have up to three. Let's just keep it at three to simplify. Then I want you to think back to when you first had it. So ask yourself, what was that experience like? So you have your three foods. When was the first time that you had that food? So I'm going to give you an example. For instance, I love ice cream because it reminds me of my father and my grandfather. And we always did these movie nights growing up. So ice cream for me was a sign of comfort and love and family. And that was a beautiful thing for me. I have a great relationship with them. So when I was saying that I would always want ice cream, it's because I don't live near my family. So it kind of gave me that grounding feeling. It would remind me of them. So take that example, because I'll get back to that. But I want you to think of what's your experience like. What was your experience like when you had those three foods? Was it a good experience? Did it help you through a breakup or a rough time? Was it a fun time in college? Was it something that reminds you of a family member, maybe your grandmother or grandfather or your parents or your brothers and sisters? And then what was going on at the time? For example, was it a birthday party or a holiday? And then how did it make you feel? So like I told you with the ice cream, it made me feel really comforted. It made me feel loved. It reminded me of two beautiful people in my life, one no longer with me. So, you know, I really want you to recognize that food isn't evil. And we often create these relationships with food and behavioral patterns because it's something that brought us, it made us feel good. And that's all our bodies ever want to do for us, right? We often fight our bodies on things and we fight our minds and we think that, oh my God, I'm so mad at myself. I ate three pieces of pizza. I can't believe I did that. Well, there's a reason, right? So it's about understanding what is it we need and giving ourselves some compassion and understanding that we created that relationship or that experience or that behavioral pattern out of love for ourselves because it was something that once worked. So now we just want to recognize that that's no longer working for us, have compassion, and the way that we can correct it is by getting to the root and the source. And that's what we're doing here with this exercise. And then what does this food represent for you now? How does it show up for you now? Often when I work with people around this, they really hate how it shows up now because it's keeping them from where they want to be. They work hard to get their body a certain way, but they just can't get it the desired look. because they keep eating late at night and they keep eating bread. Bread's always one that people insist carbs are evil. So what does this food represent for you now? And then lastly, when and how often do you have it? Is it on your bad food list, that quote unquote, a lot of dieters have their good and bad foods. What's your view of it now? And once you have identified your trigger foods, it's important to understand how you have created an emotional connection with them and what that behavioral response is to them. And in order to really cure these cravings, it's really identifying and understanding this. So if you have a sweet tooth or a salt craving, more times than not, to cut the craving, you need to eliminate that element for your body to cleanse your palate and get your body back to its natural rhythm. I know that's easier said than done, but it's just slowly by crowding that food out. And that's a big thing. So slowly crowd out that food and really work with yourself to say, I can have it. I'm just not going to have it all the time, but it's okay to have it. So at the same time, it's really important to find healthy swaps and alternatives to ease ourselves of these cravings so that you're not subjected to a binge down the road, because that really happens often. And so first, we want to reduce our cravings by decreasing the amount we consume each of these per week. And then slowly over time, we lower this, right? So that our bodies can adjust and we don't feel deprived. And so, for example, if you have a sweet tooth, add in more fruits and sweet root vegetables to your diet, such as sweet potatoes and eggplant and stewed tomatoes, to offset your cravings. And like I said, sugar is more addictive than cocaine and heroin. So really, the more that we can fill our bodies with foods closer to their natural state, the easier it is for us to really cleanse our palate and get our body back to those natural rhythms.
Melissa, you gave us a lot to think about. If you're enjoying this podcast, or you feel, more importantly, like somebody could really use this kind of information, please feel free to share this on Facebook, Twitter, all the social media that you can think of. Email this podcast. If you're not on Natural Health 365, go there now. Click the podcast link. You'll be able to pick this show out and be able to share this with your family and friends. Melissa, I just want to thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was amazing. You had such a beautiful podcast, and it was an honor to be a part of it.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.